You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's head up north. Speaking of cold weather, Toronto, right. Reed Forgrave joins us now. Covers the NBA for CBS Sports. Hey, Reed, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
What's up, Reed?
What's up, guys? How are you?
All right.
Do well. And Raptors certainly saved the NBA's bacon last night. there's no juice out west. That series is over. Milwaukee jumps out 3-0 in this series. This series would be over, no juice. Now you got something to watch here. It makes at least game four interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a fan base that deserves it, right? Like, you could feel in the building last night this alternating feelings between delirium and fatalism. This fan base is just, they're just so
I like that.
Used to the worst things happening when they think they're within grasp. So it was an incredible, incredible game last night. And, yeah, I think Adam Silver might be a little bit happy we're not getting two sweeps.
Yeah, exactly. Reed, let me ask you, how impressive, man. Moose and I were talking about earlier a lot about the team defense by the Raptors and the scheme by Nick Nurse and his staff to really just limit kind of offensively the Greek freak Giannis, man. I thought they did a great job on that team defense-wise.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is, and they were all season one of the best defenses in the NBA, but frankly, they got better as the season went along. And the Raptors are just such a versatile team. They can do so many things schematically. Nick Nurse, before the game, he was asked whether he was going to change his lineup, and he said, yeah. So everyone assumed he was changing his starting lineup, and that wasn't the case. He just changed a lot of the matchups, put a lot of Norm Powell in there, a little bit more Ibaka at times. And, I know Nick Nurse has taken a little bit of criticism these playoffs, but I think he's, especially for a first-year coach, first-year NBA coach, I think he's doing a hell of a job.
Yeah, he has, and they're a victory. What do you need? What will be the big adjustment from the Bucks going into Game 4? And what will be the adjustment from Toronto going to Game 4?
I mean, I don't know. I think especially the Bucks. That's a team that kind of does what they do, right? Like, they have an identity. And obviously centered around Giannis. And Giannis drives the lane and kick it out to his guys. So I'm not sure if you overreact to any one narrative, especially. I mean, that's what Nick Nurse said after Game 1. Don't overreact to the narrative, because it was a tie game with 2 minutes left. I think that's the case with the Bucks here. Like, it's obviously a toss-up game. You go into overtime, and yeah, to me, I think they can't come with the exact same game plan, both teams.
Reed, the performance, you know, by Leonard, by Kawhi in these playoffs. I mean, are you surprised he's taking his game to like a complete another level here?
Jordan-esque, right?
That's, yeah,
the word.
Great.
It's not an exaggeration.
Yeah, like, man.
I know the stats been tossed out there a lot, but that Sixers series, he scored more points in that seven-game series than any player since Michael Jordan in 1993. And just the way that you're into overtime and you're like, all right, we know who's getting the ball. We'll just see if he can do it. That's a special, special player that can do that. And Nick Nurse talked about it after last night's game. I don't think Kawhi Leonard's defense was front and center, but that was the key to the Raptors winning. He was all over the place and making not just smart defense, not just like excellent lockdown defense, but those sort of big defensive plays that you really need in a game where points are just so tough to come by.
Yeah, which is you like the Bucks certainly had their way with Toronto in Game 2. Toronto answers the call in Game 3. How do you think the rest of the series plays out, Reed?
I mean, I always thought that coming back to Toronto, it was going to be a split. So I think the Raptors have an uphill climb, right? Like, the Bucks have been the best team in the NBA since the beginning of the season. And the Raptors simply need more things to go right for them in order to beat the Bucks than the Bucks need right for them in order to beat the Raptors. So ultimately, I think the Bucks are going to win the series. I think it's going to be a series that goes six or seven games. I think what you said at the beginning, that the NBA needs this series, especially considering what's happened out in the West, I think that is very true, and I think they're going to get it.
And Reed, you know, speaking on West with the Warriors in Portland, you know, Moose and I were talking a lot earlier about Draymond Green and stuff. Like, maturity, is he kind of maturing before our eyes, you feel, during the Western Conference Finals. You think it's something like, we were talking earlier, like it's kind of like they're just motivated, you know, without KD and stuff there, because they've won before without him. Now they're winning without him again. But Draymond Green, speak on him a little bit in your opinion about him.
I think the thing about Draymond is we can think of him from the outside as sort of a whiner, as a guy who you know gets technicals all the time and is complaining to the refs. From the inside, Draymond is just the ultimate team player, and I think what we're seeing from him this series is exactly what we expect as far as that leader. But we're also seeing a dude who's 20 pounds skinnier than he was 4 or 5 months ago, and I think that is just coming out huge. It is a monstrous Draymond. Like, Draymond, I believe, is a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer. And we are seeing, like, maybe the best version of him right now, and that's incredible. When I look at these Warriors, you look at Kevin Durant, and he's the best player on the Warriors. Steph Curry, he's the best Warrior. Like, he's the one who that team is just centered around, but it's Draymond who is this team's soul, and I think we're absolutely seeing that, not just this series, but this entire playoff.
How much do you think they enjoy it without Durant on the court?
Quietly, they sure don't vocalize it, right? It is funny how much I was there after that Rocket series, that Game 6. Afterward, it was like every player was almost instructed, like, go give an authentic feeling quote to the media about how we can't win it all without Kevin, and Kevin's the best player out there, and Kevin's the best player in the NBA. I don't think they want to admit it because they know they're a better team with Kevin Durant. Of course they are. He may be the best player on earth right now, but they're not more Warriors-like. And, boy, the question of them enjoying it, I think it's more like when Kevin is on the court, they get a chance. They can be a little bit lazy. They're afforded some mistakes, whereas when he's out, they know they aren't, and they have to be that old Warriors team. I don't know if they're having more fun doing it, but I know I'm having more fun watching. I can tell you that much.
Well, if you look, you know, at Portland, we were talking earlier also about Lillard, you know, about the rib injury. You know, he's never going to admit it, Reed. But you know, how much do you think this rib injury to Dame Lillard is impacted his game in the series?
Yeah, first of all, a separated rib.
No joke.
Isn't that the point?
Yeah, it's well.
I mean, aren't ribs?
Yeah, you're right.
Separated. Like,
yeah, you're right. Yeah,
call me crazy. Yeah, I mean, Dame, that first series against OKC, he was, during that series, he looked like a top five player in the NBA, and he hasn't since. I think part of it is just how he's been defended, especially in that Denver series. He's kind of like lost his mojo a little bit, but the dude, I've actually been stunned. I thought Dame was going to rise to this moment. I thought we were going to see 35 to 40 point games out of him every game this series, but you know, just like the Nuggets, like the Warriors are like, we're not going to let Dame beat us. We're going to lock down on him, and yeah, he frankly hasn't been good, which is a shame because this Portland team, they're really fun. They're not nearly as talented as the Warriors. I don't need to tell you that, but what this team did, and when CJ and Dame are on, they're a really fun team to watch, and they could. You know, I think Dame and CJ had to be absolutely superheroes for them to do that, but I thought they could have taken a couple games in this series. It sure doesn't look like it now.
No, it doesn't right now. It almost looks like a foregone conclusion, and that's probably what it is. We're talking to Reed Forgrave, CBS Sports, covers the NBA. Reed, after last week's NBA draft lottery, I mean, for a brief time there was a belief of just because how forlorn he looked after the Pelicans got the first overall draft choice, that maybe Zion Williamson would try and force his way out of New Orleans. That is not going to happen, correct?
He ain't dumb, man. He ain't dumb. You remember back in February, I think it was on Valentine's Day, the game, the North Carolina Duke game, when Zion's shoe blew out. Was it Obama said? His shoe broke. But, like, he remembers that, and he remembers how scared he was and then bringing his parents to the locker room, and all of us thought he tore his ACL. Duke can't risk that. He cannot risk that. There's no way he goes back to Duke.
Yeah, no way he goes back to Duke, and no way he does a scenario where he tries to, you know, pull a John Elway or Eli Manning and say, I'm not playing for that team. I mean, his stepdad came out this weekend and said, you know, he's happy to be going down to New Orleans. It would really undo a lot of the things that have drawn you to the individual, to the talent, to the player. is just this infectious attitude and kind of spirit that he brings to the basketball court.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And it's interesting because the NBA is always such a, you know, it's such a player control league compared to the NFL. And yet we've never really seen rookies force their way to another team since, what, Kobe?
Yeah, that's right.
I can't think of other rookies who have done that. Zion certainly has the power that he'd be able to do it if he wanted to, but it's just kind of outside the culture of the league. So you bring up a good point, though. He is such a genuine character, and I think his athleticism is incredible and his basketball potential is incredible. But the reason he's going to get zillions of dollars of endorsements is because that personality is so, I don't know, I don't want to use the word pure, but it's genuine, it's authentic, and the word infectious is absolutely the word.
I wonder if John Calipari thinks about Kobe. They would have selected him instead of Kerry Kittles when he was with the Nets. They decided not to. He ends up getting drafted by Charlotte, traded to Los Angeles in the Divots deal. It's amazing how everything changes and how everyone's career changes. Calipari goes back to college. We know what he's doing now at Kentucky, and we know how great Kobe Bryant was with the Lakers. How, you know, I mean, top 10 player of all time.
Imagine playing Kobe playing at his home games in Jersey, though.
I know, crazy.
That'd be trash, man. Thank God that didn't happen.
Hey, Jay, we appreciate the time, Reed. Enjoy Toronto, all right, brother?
All right, thanks, guys.
Take care, man.
You got
thanks.
It. Reed Forgrave, CBS Sports, up there in Toronto.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.